Greetings, welcome. My name is John Griffin, and I'm joined by other SAC team members, which stands for, by the way, Simulcast Advisory Council, with, of course, the JMT, John Maxwell team. And we have an acronym for everything, apparently. So we've got PAC, SAC, one hopefully forming a RAC, all kinds of stuff. But we're glad that you're here tonight, and we've got Rhea Story and Bob English. Both are serving on the Simulcast Advisory Council. They're on the call tonight with me as well. And Jennifer Hudson was going to be on the call tonight, but bless her heart, she came down with the flu. So she has been in bed all afternoon, and she's going to she asked me to apologize, but also she wanted to be on here so bad, and I actually talked her out of it because she really doesn't feel good. So she's got the flu, but we are praying that she heals very quickly because we need her badly. She's such a rock on the simulcast side. So for many of y'all, you may not even know us, and we all serve on the with the JMT. We've been on the John Maxwell team for a while. And I'll tell you what, why don't, to just so you don't have to do this later at the top of the call here, Rhea, why don't you tell us quickly who you are, where you're from, and how long you've been in the Maxwell team, and then I'll have Bob do the same.
Sure. Thank you, John. My name is Rhea Story from Alabama, in Auburn, Alabama. I've joined the John Maxwell team in August of 2012, so February of 13 was my first training, so a little over 2 years now. Very excited to be a part of this group and happy to serve. My husband Mac and I have hosted several simulcasts, including the last year simulcast. So we are excited about the opportunity to do so again. So just ready to go and happy to answer any questions that I can. So please let me know what I can do.
Excellent. Thank you, Rhea. How about you, Bob?
Well, I'm Bob English. I'm in Huntsville, Alabama. We've got Alabama covered today, I guess.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. At least it's warm today. I joined in November of 12, and then February 13 was also my first training. So it's been a little over 2 years. I have planned several small business conferences in another life, but my first simulcast was last October when I did L2, and I learned a lot, and what a great opportunity. So I'm looking forward to doing it again and then helping everyone else.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, and I'm so excited to have Rhea and Bob as a part of the team. And two people who aren't on the call tonight are also on the Simulcast Advisory Council. And the reason why I tell you about these folks is if you have questions, we're here as a resource, and you'll hear about that as I talk tonight. But Rick Vandermeiden is also, he's from California, and he's been doing LeaderCast events for several years as well, and brings a wealth of knowledge to the team. And then Tony Lynch is from England and helping to bring the international flair to the team to keep us really grounded in thinking globally with this instead of just making everything U.S.-centric. So I know we had one lady from Switzerland, so you're probably happy to hear that. And then, of course, my name's John Griffin. I'm a founding partner of the team, and I've done LeaderCast, which is another simulcast event. This will be my fourth one coming up. A great success with that, and it's been a positive feed into our business with respect to branding and making myself known in the community that I serve. I'm from Austin, Texas. And so we're just excited to be able to tell you a little bit about this tonight. For those of you who aren't familiar with simulcast events, the reason why we say LeaderCast is in 2000, John Maxwell had started an event called LeaderCast. And for many years, it was an all-day event, and there were anywhere from 7 to 10 speakers in any given year. And people, it got to be a really well-branded event And with John's business plan that they had and the direction they were going with the Maxwell Company, they sold the rights to that to a company a few years ago. I think it was 2009 or 10. And then John had just supported that by speaking every year since then. But then last year, John decided to really kind of part ways with that particular all-day format and opted to do one that is more John Maxwell company-centric and into a half-day format, and that John would bookend the event. He would start the day with an opening teaching and then end the day with him teaching, and then in between would have other speakers. And so we've got a great speaker lineup for this. And how this works is the event takes place live in Atlanta, Georgia, and the speakers this year are pretty stinking exciting. We've got Patrick Lencioni, and you know, if you haven't heard of him, you need to look him up. He's one of my favorite speakers. He's great. But he'll be on the team this year, and he wrote the book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, which is a great book. And then Valerie Burton, who's actually local there in Atlanta, she's going to be joining John on the stage and speaking. And then John's doing a 20-minute interview ahead of time with Kevin Turner, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Microsoft. And so we've got a good lineup there for this year, and it's going to be a great event. It's a great opportunity for each of us to be able to showcase who we are, meaning in an event like this, John and the speakers do all the work. You get to stand up and be, if you're interested, I guess I'm jumping ahead of that, but if you're interested in hosting, you get to showcase your talent by way of introducing the event, bringing that event to your community, and being able to stand up and facilitate discussion if you decide to during a break or at the end of the event. But the main thing to understand about an event like this is we're not here to really sell you on the event tonight. We just want to share with you the opportunity that we've already all taken advantage of. And the first kind of group that they wanted to roll this out to was those of us that are in the mentorship program. And the reason why that's important is you'll always hear this. Mentorship has its privileges. And that's one of the advantages of tonight. We're only talking to those in mentorship for the express purpose of letting you know about this opportunity, so that if you decide that you want to host the event in your town, then you've kind of get on the map there first. And all that means is there are no, exclusive rights to your city and things like that. But Jennifer Hudson, who represents the John Maxwell team, what she tries her best to do is not stack people on top of each other. So, for example, in Austin, there's probably going to be two, where I'm from, there's going to be two events, maybe even three, and we've got plenty of room for that kind of stuff, but we're not stacked on top of each other. And so that's the intent, is not to have people like right down the street from each other. Last year, I did have that. Somebody was right down the street from me, but they actually lived in Corpus Christi, bought it, and then decided to do it up here. It didn't work very well for them because they tried to do it from Corpus Christi. All that said is, that's why we roll it out to you first. After April, at the beginning of April, then they are going to roll this out to the rest of the John Maxwell team and then out to the world. And so we just wanted to give you that opportunity to learn about this event. So let me share with you, if you saw the post, which I'm likely you did on the mentorship page, then I hope you've gone out to l2l.johnmaxwell.com. And that's where you'll find all the information about the event and all that. I'll tell you a little bit about the price and all that. But one of the main thing that we wanted to share with you is the reason why we have a SAC, Simulcast Advisory Council, is that we represent the John Maxwell team to the John Maxwell company. this event is a John Maxwell Company event that they're just giving us the opportunity to be a part of so that John can basically tell us we can share the brand of the John Maxwell name. And that continues to deepen our brand with him and in our community. And so from the SAC side, the Simulcast Advisory Council, we're constantly giving feedback to the John Maxwell Company on questions that they ask us that would best add value to the team. And so that's their goal in this, is to do whatever they can to add value to our team while still pulling off the goal, meeting the objectives of the simulcast itself for the John Maxwell Company. So that's one. The second part of our responsibility to the John Maxwell team is that we provide our experience that we've had with simulcast events, that are we probably the top, you know, players in simulcast? No, I'm sure there's plenty of people on the team who have had vast experience pulling off these events, but we have volunteered to be able to help out the team and to field your questions. So we've tried to provide some resources for you that are on what's called a host-only website. So once somebody signs up for the host, to be a host, you get access to this whole different part of the website that has support material. So we have a timeline and marketing materials and logos and things like that. But we're also going to be doing some question and answer calls throughout. We've started doing some training videos that we filmed as a group down while we were at the live event in February. And so those will be placed out on the host-only website. And then we'll use our question and answer calls to field any questions that you may have. Meanwhile, you also have all of the mentors, the faculty, at your disposal. So if you ever have a question about, you know, your sponsorship or sales or anything like that, you're always welcome to ask us, but you're also welcome to use the time on the normal mentorship calls and ask Paul or Ed or any of them about that. Rhea, have I covered everything so far besides the cost? Am I missing anything that you know of?
I think you've covered a lot of the good facts, John, and one thing that I'll kind of echo what you said, you mentioned how it was a great opportunity and a great tool to build your business locally, and that's one of the things that Mac and I have found as well, is that it just hosting the event and bringing value to our local community really established us as a leadership resource in the community. So I'll just echo what you said and just finding that we found it was an incredible opportunity to build up our local business.
Right on. Thank you, Rhea. And one of the things, by the way, just so y'all know, if you decide to host a site and we do future calls, typically we'll have a host and a co-host. And tonight, Rhea stepped in to cover for Jennifer, and then during Q&A, it's kind of open to any of us on the team. So Bob is going to help us out during any Q&A if y'all have some questions as well. One of the points, though, in all of this, I said I wasn't going to sell this. I do want you to know the tremendous opportunity that this gives you, just like Rhea just said. But this type of an event, especially if you've never done one, it's not easy, but it definitely doesn't have to be hard. It's going to take some work. It'll absolutely take work. A lot of people think, you know, well, I just say, hey, I'm hosting a simulcast event. Everybody come, show up, please. No, it doesn't quite work that way. And so that's why we're here, to help people along the way to answer those questions. And so the first question that most people ask are, well, shoot, how much is this going to cost? The cool thing that, and I'll let Bob and Rhea chime in on this if you have something to share, but the cost of this event is $3,295. And that gets you the license to broadcast the event in your market. What that does is it's one fee. The other simulcast event that I do, the more tickets I sell, the more I have to pay for my license. And so, for example, my license this year was $6,500 for the event that I'm doing in May. and that's only for, you know, and that's for 250 people. Well, I can do this event for the same number of people, and it, the cost doesn't change. It's not dependent on the number of people. It's just a set cost. So that's one thing I want to make a point. If you decide to host, you'll do that through Jennifer Hudson. This isn't anything that we're selling. I'm just sharing this information because Jennifer is sick tonight. But it's $32.95 for the license. It would be $500 due when you register, $500 due in May, and then the balance by August 25th. It's really as simple as that. It's not meant to be too terribly complicated. If you decide you want to sign up, you can talk with Jennifer by signing up through the l2l.johnmaxwell.com. You just hit the host a site, or you can send a note. I believe I should have looked up Jennifer's email. It's jennifer.hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, at johnmaxwell.com. And you can always email her, but the easiest and the best way for you to do it is to fill out the click on the button that says host a site on l2l.johnmaxwell.com, and that will actually give your information to her, and she'll follow up with you. Or if you're like me and you just want to hurry up and do it, then just send her an email, or and she'll get in touch with you as soon as, not tonight because she's sick, but she'll get with you. And other than that, Rhea or Bob, am I accurate in saying that, first of all, with the cost, and in terms of, it's not easy, but it doesn't have to be extremely hard. If y'all want to comment on that, and then let's open the lines for Q&A.
Sure. Bob, you want to jump in first?
Well, I think John hit the nail on the head. It is hard work, but when you partner with folks, that takes some of the load financially and the workload off. I know last year I partnered with two other coaches in the area, and a lot of other hosts did that. But if you have a plan and you use the resources that are available, you know, it's very doable, very doable.
That's good.
Yeah, I would just agree with that. I mean, it does take work and effort to sell tickets. You know, one thing you mentioned, John, was that you can't just decide to do it and the tickets sell themselves. So it does take some effort to make sure everyone's aware that the opportunity, the event's going on. But I think the resources that are provided make it very easy from anyone who's done a simulcast before to that first time simulcast host. And, you know, there's, like you mentioned, there's resources on the host-only website, from checklists and things you should be thinking about to ideas on interesting ways to approach sponsors and things like that. So I think the wealth of resources that we have access to make it an experience that you can take on and, you know, be challenged by, but also be successful in doing it.
Yeah. And that's a good point. One of the things that I'll say, and by the way, if you have a question, you can go ahead and hit *61 while I'm talking, and I'll take your question as I finish the statement, I guess. But *61 will put you into the queue. The main thing with when you host something like this is, yes, like I said, it's not easy, but it doesn't have to be hard. But it definitely is an opportunity to showcase you as a person who brings quality events to your community. I've always worked with my area of town here to position myself as what I call the leader's leader, so that I can bring a quality event like this or LeaderCast or any workshops and be able to bring that with the intent of just continuing to plant the seeds in the community that if people need coaching or training or a speaker, I are it. And I use proper English when I say that to them. But, you know, that's the whole deal is when you stand up, it gives you, while you're not the one teaching, John's going to do that for us. You know, Kevin Turner is going to do that during his video. Valerie and Pat Lencioni, all of them are going to do the teaching for us. We just get to sit there and beam with pride that we're the ones that brought that to the community. And so we've got some folks in the queue. We're going to stay on, you know, at least till 8 if people still have questions, but we're certainly not going to hold you if people don't. But I'm going to go ahead and start with the first one in the queue. Linda, you are unmuted. How are you?
Hi, I'm Linda from Penticton, British Columbia. Thank you for having me on the call.
Sure.
So my question is, is there a certain demographics that we're supposed to, like, promote this to? Is it basically business, or does it really matter? Okay, can it be for anything? What is the topic? Is it on, you know, business, or is it just leadership in any realm for any demographics?
That is a great question, Linda, and so there's two aspects to that question, and then I certainly want Rhea and Bob to chime in as well. But on the one hand, it's who do you want to reach is even more important question, because John's material, you know, John speaks in such a way that speaks to a broad audience. For my LeaderCast events, you know, I have people that are anywhere from just individual contributors to executives that come to my events. For L2L, it's very similar for me. I'm not as niche of a person as most people are, and so all are welcome, and I do that so that I can sell out my event and kind of create this vacuum that makes people want to buy into it earlier. That's just my take. It's a perspective on it. So I know Rhea and Mac, y'all are probably a little more targeted. You want to share your view on that?
Sure. I think that is a great question, Linda. And one of the things I'll share with you is we look for those people who want to go to the next level, whether it's individuals or it could be business owners or business employees. So we're looking for those individuals that are ready to, you know, increase their influence. And so the one way that we reach that target is we look for leaders in the community already. So kind of those people who might be leaders in the chamber or leaders in the community that, you know, kind of step up and take a leadership role, or business leaders that have kind of already, you know, waved their hand and said, hey, I'm willing to take on something extra. And so we know that those individuals are already interested in leadership, whether formally or not. So that's one way we look at it. And then the other thing is, you know, with Valerie Burton, she's really going to talk about getting unstuck. And so for me, that's a way to reach a lot of people who might be feeling stuck in their life. And so really talking about leadership from the personal perspective as well as that corporate, you know, business leadership environment, I think that's kind of another demographic. You know, at some point, probably a large percentage, or not all of us, have felt stuck in one way or another. So that might be an idea of how to reach more people.
Good. Okay, great. Thank you.
Bob, do you?
Yeah, let me chime in. I think, John, you hit it on the head first when you said John's material is great for anyone, and it can help anyone with their leadership and ability wherever they are. And so that's the first thing. And the way I approached it, maybe it's just a little bit different than what Rhea said, was, you know, I look at who I'd like to do business with, and I target those individuals or groups. And then after that, I just go, you know, last year I went out looking at for anybody who I thought could benefit or that the simulcast would add value to, and was inviting them, was people in nonprofits. My church hosted it. I invited all their church staff, and the administrator there went out and talked to other churches in the area and church staffs, and, you know, just and other folks in my network, other groups or individuals. But I started with, you know, who do I want to get in the room that I'd like to do business with and that can I add value to and help through my business? And then it just expanded from there. And it's really endless. Just use your networks is the big thing.
That's good. Does that answer your question, Linda? Or do
yes,
you have
that does. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure, because I am new into the John Maxwell program in November and new to the mentorship program, and I actually am, my situation's a little bit differently, where I've been a stay-at-home mom for many, many years, but I'm now working, doing masterminds and empowering women and young kids just out of school that are feeling stuck. And so I think from what you said that this, I mean, I'm not just going to limit it to that, but I think that I could definitely add value to those.
Right on. So, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, Linda, since you've never done this before and you're new to the team, one of the things that we will share anytime we're teaching is, you know, the Maxwell Company has done simulcast for a long time. And an interesting statistic for them is the average first year for any simulcast event is usually 50 to 75 people. So, you know, to give people a realistic stance on, you know, if I'm planning the event and want to do something like this, it's never intended to, you know, rain on anybody's parade of saying, oh, you know, don't go out and plan for 300. I just like to make sure people understand that, you know, a starting event, if it's your first time, you might want to, you know, plan 50 to 75 unless you have a community partner that has access to a lot of people that they're going to sponsor and pay, you know, pay the majority of the, of your license fee and to be a partner with you and let them bring all the people. But and that's a good way to do it. The event, I don't want to get too much into teaching about it, but I just want to let you know it, if it's your first year, a great win for the event is to get yourself in front of the community, and if you break even, and I say if because you can make money on the event, but the main goal is to break even so you don't lose money. And so if you break even, that's a success. And a lot of people try to come in and price it in such a way that they price themselves out of having any event because nobody comes because their price is too high and they didn't have the value there associated with it. And then they, you know, wonder why they lost money. And so that part of our goal is to help people along the way to know, you know, we're not going to give you pie in the sky stuff. So we'd love to have you host, but and it also sounds like it works with the folks that you've been working with.
Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Take care, Linda. All right, Ben, I am unmuting you now, sir. Welcome.
Hey, hi. Hey, you answered one of my questions, what is the average attendance of these simulcasts? But I guess three other questions would be that what venues have you seen work best? What is the price for these venues that you have that has been priced out before? And what is the time of the simulcast?
Excellent question. So I'll start with the easiest one, and Leah and Bob, y'all can correct me if I ever get any of these facts wrong, but the simulcast itself is from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The way that you would plan that, though, is you typically want to start an hour earlier to have registration and give yourself at least 30 minutes afterward for people to clear out if you're talking to a venue. And then, you know, if you decide you want to do something after that by way of a working lunch or little mini workshop or something like that, you can do that as well. And we'll talk about all that kind of stuff on the calls. So the time, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The venue is really up to you, and this is going to sound like I'm punting, but I'll give you some ideas. Venues are really what kind of event do you want to do? So for LeaderCast, when I do 250 people, I partnered with the local university. And so I presented a business plan to them saying, I want to, you know, showcase you as the university, get people on the campus here that have never been here before, and I want your facilities. And so I pay nothing. They normally charge for that, but I talked them into the wonderful free for the venue itself. For L2L, it's a little bit different because the university is still partnering with me, but I can't, they have events during the school year, which is when this particular simulcast takes place. So I'm going to be hosting it in a movie theater. It's a very high-end movie theater with nice leather reclining seats, but it costs me. So I'm going to have to pay about $2,200 for the theater, and then I'm including lunch in it, so that's going to be another $20, $25 a person into my costs that I'll have it that in the ticket price, absorbed by the ticket price and or sponsors. But the venue can be anywhere from a church classroom. My very first LeaderCast, simulcast, I partnered with another guy on the Maxwell team 4 years ago, Bron Lide, and we did it. Had 50 people in a classroom at a local church. And we did that because we're both, we like to go by the wisdom of our other SAC team member, Rick Vandermeiden, who says market aggressively, but, you know, be cautious. I'm already butchering his quote. It's a beautiful quote. but I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it's market aggressively, risk conservatively. And yes. And so I or spend conservatively and so we that's how we did it with the with that classroom. You know, we were able to get a classroom in a church for free and broadcast the simulcast. With this event, you're going to have to take into account technology, and there are technology specs, which it's broadcast through the internet, so it's a live stream. And so there are technology requirements from whatever venue you go to. And we won't get into all that tonight, but it, Jennifer would provide that to you of what those technical requirements are on that. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, so on the that first venue that you did at church, so how much did mm-hmm. you charge if you only had 50 participants?
I think we charged remember. I think it was like $69 that year per ticket for that. But, dude, we didn't know what we were doing. And I'll tell you, I don't even want to portray we had 50 people in the room. Bron actually got 48 of those people. I had two people in the room there. So I would love to pretend that I had, you know, I filled up the room of 50 people. Bron actually... I was working and really busy during that time, and I could give you all kinds of excuses, but the reality is Bron went out and pounded the pavement and did what we call pressing the flesh. You know, he was asking people to come. The next year, he and I partnered again, but I had a little bit better contribution, and we did it at a Boy Scout center. And once again, we did it without incurring a cost, but we also did kind of a just worked out an agreement with Boy Scout Center to promote them as well, and had 100 at that event. And then that's when I decided, Bron moved to Oklahoma, and I decided to do it on my own and moved it to the university. And so I had 50, then 100, then 250. And then this year I'm guaranteed to have 250 because I'm already 6 weeks ahead of my ticket sales last year. So, you know, it's a matter of starting somewhere and let it grow from there.
Okay.
Good. Is that good?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, Ben. Good to have you on the call. Next person up is Jim. Welcome.
Hey, John. Hey, my questions were just answered regarding the time of the event and just kind of a ballpark idea figure on how much to charge individual. So I appreciate this call and appreciate what you guys are doing. And I'm looking forward to hosting up here in Temple.
Oh, good. Welcome. Glad to have you, man. And, you know, and that's what we're here for, you know, is to support and try to help in any way we can. So glad to have you in my neck of the woods. You're just an hour away.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Nobody is in the queue. And Rick Vandermeiden actually joined us, and I'm trying to find him on here. Rick, hit *61 if you can get in the queue. And well, we have a couple more questions here. Ben,
This is Ben again. Hey, looking at time difference-wise here in the West Coast, is there any way of starting later in this simulcast? Or is it?
Oh, good question. That's right. You're in California, right, Ben?
Yes.
Okay, so it is 9 a.m., and then there's a two-hour delay, and you'll essentially still play it on the day of.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, I am so glad you asked this question. Rick's trying to get in the queue here. And then, Ben, you also have the option. You don't have to necessarily do it on the live day. So if you decide you want to broadcast this event, you can still purchase the license, but you have all the way through January to actually do what's called rebroadcast. So you can either do it live or you can do it as a rebroadcast. But just know, I know every time we talk about this, it gets a little confusing for people. Just because you do the live event, any time you broadcast this event requires the purchase of a new license. So whether it's the live broadcast or a rebroadcast, it still each time requires a new license from the John Maxwell Company.
Okay.
But it is a two-hour delay.
Okay, so if on the live day, will there be a potential of things like asking questions? You know how John likes to receive questions. Are there ways of asking questions at the live if it's live?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we didn't do it last year, and I don't think they're planning to do that this year. I know they thought it. We had talked about that, that opportunity and ability, but I don't think they're doing that. That takes the number of moving parts to a whole other level. The cool thing is this is the second year. It's not the first year that the John Maxwell Company has ever done the event, but it is it's something that basically they've started over building it, you know, the infrastructure all over again because they sold, you know, the old simulcast. And so, you know, I'm sure at some point they'd love to do that because John is the master of, you know, answering questions on the fly like that. So, but no, I don't believe that that's in the works for this year.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, John, let me jump in and talk about the delay. Delay since I did the delay last year. Last year, the live broadcast was on October 10th, which happened to be during spring break here in Huntsville, and which wasn't a good date for the people I wanted to come. So I did a rebroadcast on October 31st. I was able to download the whole simulcast and just replay it on the 31st. It was just like being there on the 10th. You know, unless you're sitting live in the auditorium in Atlanta, you really don't know any difference. Nobody really cared that what they were seeing had actually happened 3 weeks earlier. It went really well doing a rebroadcast. So that anybody that thinks about doing a rebroadcast, you know, sometime after the October the 9th this year. It goes just fine.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. Ben, you good?
I'm good.
Okay. We'll go to the next question. Thank you. Okay. Richard.
No, it's not Richard. It's wife, Vanya.
Oh, hi, Vanya.
Yeah, the phone is in his name. But here's my question. This is Vanya Thomas from Michigan. What is the theme of this year's simulcast, and are there participant resources that we would distribute to the participants?
Good question. So the theme, you know, and I just blanked out on the theme. I know John is talking, it's going to be centered around John's new book with intentional leadership.
Intentionality.
Yeah.
Intentional living.
Intentional living. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Maria.
I was going to say, Sonia, each speaker has a particular theme. So like John just said, John Maxwell is going to be talking about intentional living. And then Patrick Lencioni is going to be talking about organizational health. or kind of that business perspective, that corporate perspective or organization perspective. And then Valerie Burton is really going to be focusing on getting unstuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Turner, the COO with Microsoft, he's doing a recorded video interview with John Maxwell. So his will be a little bit differently because it will happen actually before the event. So it'll be a recorded interview. But awesome subjects, all three of those, and we kind of get a little bit of a different perspective so that it appeals to a broader audience.
Okay. Okay. And my last question, are there participant resources that we would distribute to the participants?
Yes, they will have what the John Maxwell Company did last year, and they haven't finalized it, you know, they won't for a little while, but they did a bundle last year that they allowed us to purchase for $99, and during the broadcast they had a retail price of $199. So
mm-hmm.
when you buy it for $99 plus shipping, so shipping depending on where you're at for my shipping, I think it added like $7 or $8 per unit. So I still made really well on that. But they'll have stuff like that, and they'll have the books of the, you know, like for Patrick Lencioni and John that you can order. But that's over and above the host cost. We had to all buy those ourselves.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Does that make sense? Okay.
And yes, it does. And you said the date is October 9th.
October the 9th, yes.
9 a.m. to 12:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Take care, Sonia.
Okay. Bye.
We got Ron from New York, and I think also, Rick, you can chime in anytime you want now. I think you finally got in. So, Ron,
okay.
Go ahead.
So, John, in listening to some of the questions, it seems like the price that we ask for this event really is what we determine the value in our area. Is that correct?
Yes and no. Yes, you can charge any price you want to. The way they're going to position this, because you're going to set this up on your own Eventbrite site or whatever ticketing company you like to use. But the John Maxwell Company has said that the retail value of these tickets, in their view, is $99.
Okay.
My personal opinion is the value of the ticket is very subjective, and it's up to you on what you want to price. So mine is definitely going to be $99. For the half-day event, to give you a perspective, for the full-day event that I'm doing for LeaderCast is $119. And so it's a little bit different model altogether, but one would think for a half-day event my price would be a lot less, but I'm making the experience with this a little bit richer than, say, the LeaderCast event. So it's still subjective, but I'm going to go ahead and go to the top price. Other people have priced it even higher than that, but the main thing, I would encourage you, if this is your first event, to go a little conservative your first year with the way that you price this out, and don't try to get super fancy and all of that. Just pull off a good, solid event, and we would help you and talk to you about that.
Okay, so in trying to look at the total cost, obviously we have the license fee of $32.95. Now, the equipment to rebroadcast, all right, so you've done some rebroadcasting. Is this something, some high-dollar equipment we're going to have to invest in, or, you know, what kind of cost should you budget for that type of equipment?
It's a projector and internet, wired internet is the bottom line. If you're doing a small event, say, for example, in a church, and you're providing your own stuff, then you want to make sure that you have an internet connection that meets the technical specs. I think it's 12 megabits per of download. But then you want a good quality projector, which usually most venues will provide that. A church would provide that free, but a other venues would charge for that. Because I do workshops, I went out and bought one, but I have yet to use it for one of these events. And then thirdly, just, you know, the sound, you know, so you want to pick a venue that's already got that. You'll have two different options, I believe, for the rebroadcast, which is just you can still stream it, so that would require the internet connection, or you can download it at your house and be able to play it, you know, for your broadcast straight from your computer.
That's if I did it live, but after the fact. Is that correct?
If you're doing it after the fact, you still have the choice to stream it because it'll be online or download it.
Okay. All right. Now, you had said the first one you did, you teamed up with a university. You went in and did a proposal to them. Is that correct?
Yes. Not my first. It was my third simulcast event that I ever did. I decided to do that.
So, and obviously I don't expect you to take the time now, but would you be willing to share on how you set up that proposal?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, not tonight, but absolutely. I've got no problem with that. And we'll want to share any folks, you know, the ideas that they have. But yeah, I'll be glad to share that.
Okay, great. All right. I think you've answered what I needed to know. Thank you very much.
All right, Ryan. Well, thank you. Okay. Rick, I know you're on, and you want to chime in anything before I go to Linda, and then we'll go to Amit.
Hey, John, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Hey, I wasn't sure I'd be able to be on the call, and I looked up and was able to jump on when I saw some of the traffic. So, hey, just a couple of quick things that are on my mind on a couple of the questions that came up. And I didn't hear everything, but what I heard, one of them was the mindset I had last year when we were advising people is to get into this event. The mindset I said was risk conservatively and market aggressively.
There we go.
We had people that were looking for venues to hold 300 people and, you know, talking about a lot of expense and everything along those lines. I said, no, don't go there yet. Find some place that can scale. You know, if you go to a hotel and work something out for a venue that fits 50 people, that's fairly inexpensive that you can get figured out and get committed, do that. But don't go out and market like you only have 50 people in the room. Go out and market as though you're getting 500.
Mm-hmm.
If you get 500, you can always find a place. You don't have to move locations, but you have the revenue to do it then. But if you, if you put yourself at risk, it's not a good thing, and it actually puts a pretty heavy weight on us as individuals to pull the event off. So, risk conservatively, market aggressively is the one thought. Ironically enough, I was listening to John's lessons from Exchange in Boston, and so this ties into one of the questions that came up a few minutes ago when you were addressing, and John talked about the first event that he did in Kansas City way back when. And he thought he'd have 50 people in the room or 100 people in the room, and 17 showed up or registered and then showed up. And, you know, a couple of days before he was going to go, I don't know if it was his business partner, but Tom came to him and said, hey, are you still going to do it? If you go, you're going to lose $3,000. And John said, yes, we've got registrants. We're committed to going. And he lost $3,000 at that event. So just back to the thought process of it may not be as big as we expect the first time. This ties into when you said JMC's been doing these events for a while, and you know, the first year the event sizes are always a little bit smaller as we're starting to build recognition and momentum. So, and it just tied into that thought that I had literally just listened to from John talking about, you know, the first one wasn't as big as I expected, and I lost money on it. I don't think we should be losing money on L2L, and
no.
We should be aware of again, just being conservative so that we don't, but not try to make it a how do we knock it out of the park the first year hosting an event and make a lot of money at it. So those are just two thoughts that hit me as you were walking through that. And again, I just listened to it about an hour ago when you were sharing it. So yeah,
right on.
Just a couple of thoughts there. But nice job, and thanks for all you're doing on SAC and leading us so well.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for your input and your help. And Rhea, Bob, we do have two more questions, but do y'all want to chime in on anything with respect to what's been said so far?
No, I think you've covered it well.
Cool. All right, Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure. I never want to hog this. Let's go to Linda. Linda, you're back.
Hi. Yeah. Sorry. You actually answered my question. I'm in British Columbia, so I'm 3 hours earlier, so I wouldn't be able to do the live.
Gotcha.
So, now, but the rebroadcast.
You mean people won't come at 6 a.m.?
Well, I doubt it. Not in this sleepy town.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we answered your question then.
Okay, thank
well,
you.
Wait a minute. Isn't that just Pacific time zone?
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay, I've got it. With the rebroadcast being on the delayed feed, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Linda. We'll go to the next. All right. Amit, welcome back.
Yeah. So, John, you mentioned something about the handouts, I believe, that you bought for $99 and you could resell for $199.
It was a bundled package of – it was a couple of books. It was one of the learning systems, I believe. It was Everyone Communicates, You Connect, and it had some other stuff in there. But it had a retail value of like $299. And they were, and so they offered the special deal for that event of $199, and some of us went ahead and bought some of these, you know, for $99 each to get the best pricing we could at the time. But you still have the ability, you know, if you're not wanting to carry any inventory. I think last year they did give an option to order it, to take orders at the event. So I mean, we're still working on all of that with them, but there's, you know, it's. I'm sure there's going to be something. I just can't tell you what it is at this point.
Okay, so this is something that you can offer people who come to the event, that this is something you can take advantage of, right?
Yeah, it is a back-of-the-room type of sale.
Okay.
But one of the things that we would talk to all the host sites, one of the things you'll hear us if you're hosting is we'll each share a little bit of what we're planning to offer or quote-unquote sell at the back of the room. Because it's not just those bundles. So a lot of times we want, some of us want to offer our coaching services, or we have a teaching program that we do, or in my case this year, we're looking at offering a workshop that we want to invite everyone to that and sell them into that. So, you know, things like that will be, we'll share that as we go through some of the calls with the host sites. We'll give you tons of different options to think about.
Okay. Okay, great. And Rick's on this call too, right?
Yes.
Rick, I believe you're in Sacramento?
Correct.
Okay. I'm in San Ramon, California, and I was just looking at the L2L site, and I believe Janice Pastani has already booked the site here. So typically for something like this, for a California market, Rick, how much would you charge for an event like this?
Great question, and I'm not sure what we priced this one. Last year, we were at $99 for last year, and I know my team has talked about pricing for this year, and we haven't adjusted yet, but I'm pretty sure we'll be in that same price, $99.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to connect. If you want to do some one-off, we'd love to do that as well.
Sure. Can I reach out to you through Facebook directly?
Yeah, that would be great.
Perfect. Thanks, Rick.
You bet.
Thanks, John.
All right. No problem. Well, the queue is open. If you have a question, we'll give you 10 seconds or 15 seconds to hop back in the queue. Otherwise, we'll start shutting this down. I'll ask Rick or Rhea or Bob to share any final thoughts as we do that. Bob, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with somebody that might be considering doing a host site?
Oh, gosh. Nothing in particular that we haven't already talked about.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you being on the team with us, my friend. And so, Rhea, do you have anything
I'll just say again that I think it's been a tremendous opportunity for us in just growing our local business. Like you said, you know, it would be a great goal to even make money, but even if you just break even, how it positions you in the community is just a tremendous opportunity. And I think John Maxwell did such a great job of that last year in just really endorsing the John Maxwell. So I can't say that enough in just how many doors it opened for us here locally. So.
Right on. Thank you, Rhea. We have one question that just jumped in, and I think I just knocked them out. I'm sorry. If you still have a question, hop back in. I apologize. I don't know why it did that. There we go. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, hello. Yeah, this is Theo in New York. My question was, how do we best follow up with you regarding proposals to a university environment?
You're welcome to, you know, reach out to me through Facebook. But, you know, once you decide that you want to be a host site, you can I'll talk to the John Maxwell Company. If they want to post that on the host-only website, we'll put it there. You'll also have access to a private Facebook group, just like we have for the mentorship page and the Maxwell team. We actually have a Live to Lead Facebook group, and where we share ideas there in between calls.
Okay.
So, you know, on any of that, but we'll also talk about it on one of the calls coming up, for sure,
okay.
On different types of proposals.
Okay, great, because that's what I would be interested in.
Sure. All right. Is that your question?
Yeah. I was
awesome.
Actually, I joined late, but I was on long enough to have all my questions answered. Listening to everyone else.
Right on, man. All right. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You. I appreciate
right, take
it.
Care. All right, Rick. Final thoughts.
Just do it. I was talking to my team. It was a broader scope than just L2L, but we were going through, you know, some pricing and some other things. And part of the discussion was making money, not making money. You know, break even, yada yada. Obviously, break even or better. But the question that came out of the discussion was, do you? Mike Dean asked me, do you want to be known as the guy, the person who brings quality leadership events to Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, we just have to figure out the rest of the logistics. We want to be known as that person? So I think that's the question to ask ourselves. And there isn't a better event we can bring. And the other thing I posted on the feed at one point or another is, you know, with a population of over 3 million in Sacramento, we're just barely scratching the surface with the number of attendees we get, and there's a huge need for what we do. So that's why I know the need.
Y'all could have tons of sites there and never trip over each other, you know?
Yep.
Same thing here. Yeah, one of the things that, you know, we'll challenge folks on along the way, and including ourselves, are, you know, scarcity versus abundance, you know, because for LeaderCast, I have somebody – a big player right down the road from me, but thankfully, you know, I'm marketing a little more aggressively than they are, and I'm going to sell out, and they probably aren't. But that's part of the thing. And this isn't a Maxwell competition, by the way. When I say somebody's down the road, it's another group altogether. And so that's one of the things that I want to close with this. If you decide you want to do this, we'd love to have you. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you decide not to do this, I would encourage you to find somebody in your area and go to their event so that you can see the simulcast at the very least. Go attend one of them so you can see what it is, what it's all about. But if you decide to do it, I can tell you that, and I'll speak on behalf, you won't hear me speak on behalf of all of us all the time, but I know these folks that are on this team. But I know Rick and Tony and Rhea and Bob and myself, we feel a responsibility to at the end of the day, we want to help you be as successful as you can. We don't have all the answers, but we know where to go get them. And that's the main thing is, you know, we're here to be a resource. We want to help in any way you can. We're in the trenches as well. So we're going to be sharing kind of stuff that we're doing along the way too. And meanwhile, we'll bring other people on the calls that are doing things probably even better than us, so that we can showcase them to let the tribe know what's working and what's doing really well out there. So with that, I appreciate y'all joining the call tonight. I'm going to turn off the queue now, and I'll turn off the recording, and you can all say goodbye. I appreciate you being on here, and thank you to the SAC members for helping out as well.